It is the 200th anniversary of the birth of Darwin, and it's the 150th anniversary of the publication of The Origin of the Species. And Darwin is one of these people that I feel I've some sort of connection with. I've stayed in the house that overlooks the garden that was planted, the herb garden that was planted by his grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, in Lichfield. And I've stayed in his college in Cambridge, in Christ's College, where I was preaching earlier this year.
Yeah.
I think Darwin is one of these people who we have dismissed for too long in the churches and thought of him as being outside the church and somebody who challenges faith, when it's quite the opposite.
And yet he would be used by an awful lot of people like Dawkins to challenge faith and to say, well, you know...
Yes, and Darwin's faith was deeply challenged, but not by his own findings. He actually says in his autobiography, and let's take him on his own words, he says that at the time he was writing The Origin of the Species in the 1850s, that he still saw himself as a theist, that he saw a first cause in creation. And he's trying to describe the splendour and the beauty and the majesty of creation rather than to challenge Christianity. And it's not his findings in his scientific investigation in botany, in geology, in anthropology, those scientific works that challenges his faith. Actually, it's a deep personal crisis that affects everybody. In different ways or in different events. And for him, it was the death of his 10-year-old daughter, and nobody could properly comfort him in this tragedy. And yet throughout his life, even after he lost his faith, he refused to describe himself as an atheist. He thought that others who were atheists who tried to recruit him to their cause were aggressive and were militant. His wife and his children continued to go to church. He remained on church committees in his local parish. He remained involved in the local school until he had a row with the local rector. But the previous vicar had been a lifelong friend of his, and he remained a constant friend. And when he was buried, the family was very happy to have him buried in Westminster Abbey. I've almost tripped over his gravestone in Westminster Abbey at Choral Evensong. This is a man who saw the beauty of creation and who... actually, even in his agnosticism, continued to contribute to the funds of the South American Missionary Society, because his first published work wasn't as a scientist at all. His first published work was a defence of Christian missionaries who were being accused of racism. And he stands out as somebody who sees that racism is so wrong when we're all sharing the same origins in the same creator.
And yet an awful lot of his work, again, rightly or wrongly, was taken up with the idea of the survival of the fittest. And he's often accredited as, you know, being the philosophy, if you like, behind some terrible things that came from that.
But the survival of the fittest isn't a Darwinian term at all. This is used by people afterwards. Darwin didn't talk about that. He talked about natural selection, and he talked about adaptation and how species adapt to their climate and their environment. And indeed, his ideas come straight from Paley, who was also a Christ's College man from Cambridge, who was one of the biggest influences on him. His first choice after he had decided to give up on medicine was to become an Anglican priest, and he had started studying math and theology and natural sciences because he wanted to prepare for ordination. Indeed, he wanted to be, as he says in his own words, he liked the idea of being a country clergyman. And it's this love of the and recognition of the beauty and the splendour of creation that sets him to write these things. And I think he's been gravely misunderstood, in the same way that Galileo was misunderstood for his observation and subsequent description of how the Earth revolves around the Sun. And there's this famous debate in Oxford a year after The Origin of the Species was published, where the Bishop of Oxford, Samuel Wilberforce, asked Thomas Huxley, who was defending Darwin, and on which side of your family are you descended from monkeys, from your mother's side or your father's side of the family? And these were absurd arguments that were being used against him. And we've grossly misunderstood him in the same way that we misunderstood Galileo.
So what would you say is his message then? What is the message that if we're to remember him 200 years later, and if you, as you say, are bringing him back to the church where he felt he belonged, what would you say his message is?
Well, first of all, I think the church needs to, and has, the Church of England and the Vatican have both apologised for misinterpreting Darwin and for mispresenting him. And that should be done in this 200th anniversary. Secondly, we should see how this man has actually worked so hard to show that all of humanity shares a common bond, that there aren't separate races. At a time when racism was prevalent as a description of humanity, Darwin says, no, we have a common origin. And that common origin, as far as he was concerned, at the time he was writing, when he was still a theist, that common origin is in God the Creator. And I suppose, thirdly, we should remember that this man is one of the greatest scientists that we've had in the last few centuries, and we should be thankful to God for somebody who had such a wonderful description of the created order.